we're gonna go up.
Okay, the time is 6:18. Oh, thank you. Hello, can people hear? Hello?
Pretty.
Time is 6:18. We're calling the meeting to order. We have a quorum, and we'd like to take the roll. So, oops, hold on a second. So, John Winston?
Here.
Robert Mulhern?
Here.
Kristi Godinez?
Here.
Maria Picard?
Here.
Bridget Davila?
Present.
We have a quorum. Lisa Spinelli is a little bit late. She'll be here, we hope, momentarily, especially I do. She does her meetings so well. I don't think I could ever do something as well. Anyway, the context today of today's meeting, first of all, let's go through the approval of the minutes. Do we have a motion on the approval of the minutes? A motion from John Winston, second?
Second.
Robert Mulhern, and do we have any public comment on the minutes? Public comment on the minutes from the meeting of April 13, 2016. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None? Okay, so it carries unanimously.
Sorry, could I just mention one thing?
Oh, sure.
This is on page 13 and 14, Mr. Bob Byrne. So let's fix the problems we have now.
Would you like to set up your okay, and identify yourself?
Harry Bernstein, Merced Heights. I just noticed that Bob Byrne on the top of that page, it says, let's fix the problems we have now before we create a greater one, except as we have new. So
Number three.
To the one that
now.
The amendment. Okay. Do we have any other public comment on the minutes?
Hi, Christine Hansen. Under mine on page 12 of 14, number five, it was, I don't think this is working, huh? Is it working?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, you got to be right on it. So it was actually not most of new car sales. It's actually record new car sales in 2015. And then on number six, if you could just add how the data is collected is super important. That would finish that thought. I think that's what I said, but
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, and then are there any other members of the public who wish to comment on the meeting minutes? Okay, why don't we have an amended motion?
So
okay, so to incorporate the changes that have been recommended by the public, do we have a second?
Seconded as amended.
Okay, and any further public comment on the amended motion? No? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, we are now on the context of today's meeting. Today we are going to be going over the Balboa Rivers Forest Project, the relationship with City College, and the revised parameters, which we've been posted on the website, and we'll be going through the parameters point by point with the recommended revised revisions. And there will be time for public comment. And then we will be taking a call for consensus on the revised parameters on City College project relationship. Do we have any questions? Anybody have any comments? Anybody want to add? Okay, so for the agenda today, first we'll be going over the parameters. And then we'll have general public, there'll be public comment on the parameters, and then at the end of the meeting, we will have general public comment. So we'll be moving forward on that. And then as far as the ground rules, I'll just go over the ground rules again. Be respectful that people finish their comments. Staff presentation should be allowed to be completed before responses come. One person speaking at a time. suspend judgment, make time to listen, process and reflect, gear towards solutions, keep nonverbal vocalizations of disgust to a minimum, try to get to the point, say what is poor, don't take more time than is allotted, try to stay within the established time frame of the meeting, chair to check in with committee if meeting is anticipated to go over established time frame, be honest with your perspective, but maintain a level of respect. The golden rule, no clapping or jeering. And when making a comment, identify who you are, where you live, and what group you're a part of, and stay on topic. We all have very strong feelings about, and with the very best of intentions about the development in the Balboa Reservoir. And so these ground rules are particularly important in getting through our process on our meetings. Our upcoming CAC meetings, we have a special meeting on the 23rd of May to take discussion and the revised parameters on transportation. So that will be the 23rd of May. That is a Monday, and it will be at 6:15 in this building, at the same location. Following that, then the next meeting will be in June. It will be the second Monday in June as per the normal schedule. Okay, so now we're on the parameters. This is item three, the parameter regarding project relationship with City College. And I want to focus this as a discussion item. It is not an action item, which means that this is not a final, even when we do take a consensus poll, that does not mean it is a final action. This is part of the general direction that we will be going in.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Mike Martin from the Office of Economic and Workforce Development. And before talking a little bit about City College, I wanted to jump off with something that Ms. Favetti just said, which is, I think the way Lisa's always described it is, we're doing development parameters deep dives on issues, and then we'll take time at the end of this process to look at them together. So right now we're in the silo, and then we're going to have to relate them together later. Obviously, we'll have a number of conversations that link to things that we heard, for example, last time with TPM and City College and everything, but I just wanted to highlight that tonight's sort of expression of consensus is a step towards that broader one. Yes, all right, face. So today I wanted to just do a couple comments, no slides or anything, just to sort of remind us a little bit of what used to be in the pre-meeting summary of the process and how we got to here. So ultimately, what we're trying to enlist the CAC's help in doing is identifying what we're calling development parameters. And these take specific topic areas that either will be affected by or need to be considered by a potential housing project at the reservoir site, which is the PUC site directly adjacent to us over here. And the idea would be to use that as basically the bones of a request for proposals from developers, where we would hopefully get developers competing for this opportunity by achieving what's called for in the parameters to a great extent, and hopefully doing that in a way that brings us affordable housing and community benefits and fair market value to the Public Utilities Commission, which is required under the city charter. I wanted to highlight that because this is an early stage in this process. Usually we don't have community meetings about projects before there's actually a project proposal. This is before what we've heard of, what you may have heard of called the California Environmental Quality Act process or environmental review, where you have a specific project proposal and you analyze that deeply and go through the environmental impacts and call out mitigations. We're well before that at this point. What we're doing now is very much trying to draw the envelope or sort of the idea of what could happen, and then enter those discussions, hopefully with that community input, sort of giving the developer an idea of what they're getting into and what they have to achieve. So what these parameters, in our view, are meant to do is not to have all the answers or build in all of the things that are going to fix the challenges that we're identifying. We'd like to see them do two things. Set a minimum set of expectations that the community is going to need to see, but also to leave some room for the developers to bring some creativity to these issues and some resources. Because ultimately, I think the more people bringing ideas that hopefully can jive with what they're trying to achieve, I think the better off we are at trying to find the best thinking that can possibly accommodate all of the various issues and viewpoints we've heard here before the CAC. So ultimately, this developer conversation is a piece of the broader neighborhood conversation that we heard about last week with the transportation demand management study. But it's a critical one because it's a new set of investment, a new set of resources, and it's one that frankly we have a lot of control over in our negotiations. So these kinds of input that we'll hear tonight and at the subsequent meetings, I think will help us maximize what we can get out of that conversation. So moving to tonight's topic, which is City College, I wanted to reiterate a comment that my boss, the Director of Development for the Mayor, Ken Rich, said at the January CCSF Board of Trustees meeting. And that is just very simply, City College is not just any other neighbor. It's not like we're a downtown parcel with another developer next door that we can listen to or not listen to. City College is something that we all have an interest in as an institution for the health of the city going forward. And I want to make that clear up front. We all have an interest in it being revitalized from its current state, which hopefully means building enrollment, building programs, improving relationships with faculty and staff, and sort of moving away from the state oversight that has recently ended and seen the reinstallation of the Board of Trustees. Since our last CAC meeting on this topic, which was in December of last year, our team has met with a number of different City College stakeholder groups. We'll start with that Board of Trustees meeting. We also met with the Participatory Governance Council, the Capital Planning Projects Committee, met with members of the administration, attended an academic senate meeting, and made a public comment. So we're trying as best we can to get into each of these stakeholder groups and sort of explain where we are. And what we realize is that there is a lot of voices speaking for City College, and what we need to do is bring all of those conversations back here to sort of make clear that this group is where the community can talk about how those voices speak towards this project. And that's something that we're going to continue to do. In addition, I think the City Planning Department, as we've talked about in the TDM framework, but also in general, has partnered with the City College to survey students on transportation, understand City College's facilities needs as it enters its own master planning process, and then generally sharing data. I think what we've talked about here is wanting to have a data-driven conversation that sort of steps above sort of anecdotal responses and starts talking about more broadly, where are people coming from, where do they need to go, and how do they sort of maximize their access to the educational resources at City College. We think that data approach is a way to find workable solutions in a really challenging environment. I think the takeaways thus far we've had from these discussions that I want to repeat tonight, and it's something we said at the January Board of Trustees meeting and we'll continue to say, we don't believe that a project at the reservoir to build affordable housing for the city requires or interferes with the City College's ability to build the Performing Arts and Education Center. We feel like those things can coexist, realizing that they both need to understand what each other is doing, and we need to figure out a way that if the center gets built, that the people who want to come there can get there. And we realize that's a challenge, but it's something that we want to be clear we're not standing in the way of. Similarly, I think people have brought up diagrams from an early consulting report on the Balboa Reservoir site as saying that the site needs roadways carved across this parking lot here where the Performing Arts Center needs to go to be a viable site. I want to be clear, that is not the case. We may need more access, but it doesn't have to come through City College's land. And if that access comes through City College's land, it will require the agreement of City College. So in no way are we trying to eminent domain a new road or just carve one out and just deal with it later. We'll have to figure out how people get to the site, but that's again where we're hoping that the help of a developer can really think about the right way to do that in a sensitive way. The other takeaway I want to highlight is that City College students, faculty, and staff are not immune or insulated from the housing affordability crisis. We heard a lot of concern about what's going to happen to the parking, but we also heard a lot of concern about the current affordability challenges in San Francisco. And so we feel like there's a real opportunity to target some of this housing towards those City College groups. And that's why we need to keep, one of the reasons we keep needing to engage with stakeholder groups, because to do a City College specific housing development, as we talked about in the past under fair housing laws, City College needs to be part of that transaction. And so we're gonna continue extending that, that invitation, and especially once the developer's at the table, if that hasn't sort of started off, it's a conversation that we're gonna try to spur forward. And ultimately, I think our goal is to have this conversation create a dialogue about community benefits from the project, the proposed project, and from the TDM study, and from other people looking at this area and saying, how can we improve things? But have a better sense of how these things can be targeted to the City College community. So I'm very glad that there are a number of people from the City College community that we saw at the Board of Trustees meeting that are here tonight to hopefully add to their input on this. And I guess one more note after our deep dive into transportation demand management is, you know, in the time since that meeting, we've seen the results of the San Francisco State vote on adding to their fees a discounted transit pass. And so 70% of 30,000 San Francisco State students voted in favor of that. And I think this echoes a comment that committee member Bridget Davila mentioned last time. Her students at San Francisco State, they have a range of needs. Some of them definitely need their cars and need to be able to use those cars to get to work, to get to class. But there's another subset, and I don't know how big that set is at City College, it's a different group of people, that would actually benefit from greater access to transit or improved transit ability. So I think our goal with the data collecting is trying to figure out what that cohort is and how we best get them what they need. But I would love this group, including the CAC, to start thinking about those trade-offs, that while there is a large subsidized parking resource over here that is serving a lot of people's needs, there may be a way to serve those people's needs while also freeing up some of those resources to go to a different set of people who need different ways to get around. So that's the framing comments I wanted to make. I think from here, I was gonna hand it over to the CAC, who's gonna walk through the parameters as amended. Do we have that on the slide, Kate? So, Kate, if you're prepared to do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Everybody have a copy of the draft parameters? I believe they were provided in the front here. Okay, so what we're going to do is go over the revised parameters point by point. So this is on principle number one. It appears that this is part, it was originally principle four, it is now brought up to number one in order to stress its importance, and that's to ensure that development of the Balboa Reservoir site does not negatively impact City College's educational mission and operational needs. So that was number four, it is now number one. Principle now 1A does not change. B, there has been an addition to phase and schedule construction activity to minimize, and then the addition is impacts on access and noise, the addition of dust and other air quality impacts to neighbors, including City College. There is no change to C. There is the addition of D, the new added requirement for the project to establish a process for regular communication. So it now reads, work with City College to establish a process for regular communication between the project, including a means of ensuring completion of the project's commitments to City College and a means of resolving new issues that may arise during the construction or after the new development is complete. This process should be established prior to project approvals. Okay, so the principle number one is now changed to principle number two, so we're now going on to the principle number two. And that would be, the first change would be on principle formerly 1A, now 2A, has not changed at all. 2B now is added to the extent that City College expresses interest in relocating or expanding. And then there has been, the old language has been crossed out. the City College Child Development Center to Belleville Reservoir Site to examine opportunities to accommodate this request within the new development. And the reason for this is to clarify that the project would only strive to include City College affiliated childcare facilities if City College wanted them. So item number C, this is to add language saying that the retail commercial can be added if the developer demonstrates that it won't negatively impact existing retail or nonprofits. So it would read then now, if on-site commercial space is developed, explore including retail and nonprofit uses that will additionally serve the needs of City College students, faculty, and staff, in addition to serving residents and the site's immediate neighbors. And of course, the new sentence is, if proposing any such uses demonstrate that they will complement the existing commercial environment without negatively impacting existing local retail businesses or nonprofit activities. And I would imagine you're referring to the Ocean Avenue Retail District, just double checking. D, there's an added language to call for safe, comfortable, and convenient pedestrian, bike, and car travel between City College and the Belleville Reservoir Project. As described in the transportation parameters, create safe, clearly navigable pedestrian and bicycle access through Belleville Reservoir Site to connect surrounding neighborhoods to City College and to connect the City College community to on-site public amenities they are likely to utilize. Allow for safe, comfortable, and convenient pedestrian, bike, and car travel between City College and the Belleville Reservoir Project. So in other words, integrating it into the community. The item number E has not changed. We're now at principle, what was used to be principle 2 is now principle 3. The first change is on 3B. And that is to delete on-site from the City College parking section. So it would read, explore opportunities to provide parking to City College students, faculty, and or staff. Now there's a note down below saying the city staff recommends deleting on-site from this parameter to provide greater flexibility for the developer partner to explore wider range solutions. This deletion does not, however, preclude the project from providing on-site parking. So in other words, it's to the change is recommended staff to be able to explore both on and off-site parking. And then the C has been added, phase the project in such a way that changes to the current parking lot can occur gradually, allowing for incremental adaptations rather than the wholesale removal of all parking spaces at once. So then we have item number D, parameter D, which has been added. Include local bicycle-related businesses in the creation of new bicycle amenities, such as exploring partnerships to provide on-site bicycle repair facilities. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Okay. Item number, principle 4, which was principle 3. The language added is to stress the importance of being sensitive to City College's mission and operations. So it's now worded to state to ensure that Belleville Reservoir Project is sensitive to City College's mission and operations. Work with City College and its master planning consultants to ensure the Belleville Reservoir site plan and City College's forthcoming new master plan are well coordinated and complementary. And then we have a change to A, which was revised to clarify that the developer will not have special status in City College's facility master plan process, but they will be expected to stay informed and be receptive. So, Billy states, remain actively informed about City College's master plan process and receptive to opportunities to participate. We have item number B, parameter B, which has been added. Explicitly states that the developer should assume that the Performing Arts Center will be built, and it's so stated, and C has not been changed. The city is also considering a potential, there she is, just in time.
It's great traffic on Field Avenue. Sorry, keep going.
Okay, so the potential additional changes based on recent community feedback, one.
I think that was meant to be operation, if we hear from people on those items, we can.
Only because it's not up for, so people can follow up.
Did you get that louder?
Sure, I don't see if there's.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a potential addition, there are potential additional changes that may be based on community feedback to consider referencing City College's current and future operational needs. Perhaps ensure that development at the Bellevue Reservoir site does not negatively impact City College's educational mission and current and future operational needs. Okay, that's. Okay, so that would be it. What we need now is feedback from the CAC. Is there anybody who has questions or feedback? Is it on?
Go ahead.
Testing. Okay. Go back through here and go to principle one. Oh, I'm sorry, principle 2A. I would like to suggest that we take out the word some and put in a significant, and I realize that does not, that's still on the vague side, but it tends to describe what City College wants, a significant number of on-site units. 2A.
Can you 2A?
Yes. And also I want to say that there is considerable interest in City College taking on this role, so I've been talking about it with various stakeholders, and I think we can do this. I think this is something that we could definitely do to be able to create affordable housing for faculty and staff, and if possible, targeted student groups. Let's see, the other thing. In Principle D, one minor. Principle 3D. Regarding the bicycle facilities, if indeed that should happen, I just wanted to include, well, it might be assumed in businesses to include nonprofits, because there are several nonprofit bike repair that actually work with some City College classes now. And principle number 4B, which is all in red, assume that City College's planned performing arts and education center designed for City College property to the east of the Balboa Reservoir site will be built unless informed otherwise by City College. I really think that we need to add something about parking here. I know we have parking in this other area, and I appreciate leaving out the on-site parking for added flexibility, but I want to attach parking somehow to the PAC so that there will be parking for the PAC adjacent to the PAC.
Bridget, is there within the master plan for the PAC, was there a strategy around parking specifically for that building?
I think what was envisioned was we would have the Balboa Reservoir for parking.
So as a follow-up question to that, would it be possible to go back to the folks that designed the PAC to see what the parking, like just as we're doing the transportation demand study to understand people using City College, it would be helpful if we could get a number around how much parking we think we would need, particularly as it relates to evening events.
Right. That's a good idea.
Can I
Yeah, sure.
Would it be, or do you want to finish comment?
Well, you know, well, hold that, let's, Howard, you want to go next? Are you done, Bridget?
Yes.
You're good?
No comments.
Robert.
Okay.
Hello, Robert Gilgar here. A few things here. When I view this project and I view City College, there's an important element that's missing, and that's our Balboa Park Station. So I increasingly think that we have to think of this as a triangle. We're going to get people out of the cars. We've got to make it convenient to get to public transit. So again, we have the housing, we have City College, we have Balboa Park Station. I'm not exactly sure where that should be folded into these principles, but somewhere that linkage has to be made. And maybe that's in Principle 3, or maybe it's in Principle 2. As it applies to information with regard to students using cars, is there any real data on the number of students that use cars that come to City College? And if there isn't, is there a way to do a survey of that to get a better handle on that? Because I feel like we're poking in the dark. We don't have any answers, and we're trying to say the right thing about, well, we're going to do this, but we don't have any data on what the situation is. And then added to it, if our enrollment here is, I've heard it's down up to a third over historical levels, I think we need to make assumptions that it's going to get back up to full enrollment, whatever that number is. So I'd like to fold that in, that the data-driven assumptions we're making is that we're going to have full enrollment again. So again, I would like to see that built in some way. And then last, when we're talking about identify opportunities
which
for...
Which one do you want? Which one
I'm jumping around, pardon. Principle 2 on Balboa Reservoir Project's public benefits. I'm not quite sure what that means. Are these things that the developer would be providing to the benefit of the project? Okay.
This is the list of the parks, all of the amenities that we've been talking about that have come under some of the other principles.
And would there be some sort of a dollar amount
yeah.
that would be
so
identified
part of it,
down the line?
Right, and part of that is the equation of, for the developers to say, the park means this much space, this many fewer units, like it all has to get calculated in. And so that's why I think the last principle was, I'm looking to my colleagues, the other elements, like that was one of the areas of other things that we could consider. I think it's the last principle, I think we've done one read through of it. And then, do we have public benefits as a category in itself? What principle is that?
Everything we're talking about is public.
Everything is
benefits.
Yeah.
So, yes. So public benefits is sort of a very blanket term that says things that aren't just for the benefit of the project, but to help people outside of those four walls. So I think the idea is the project proposals public benefits.
I think the idea of the language that refers to identifying opportunities for the Balboa Reservoir Project's public benefits to serve as resources for the City College community is just meant to say the things we're talking about here, if there's an opportunity to magnify their benefit by targeting them appropriately, we want to keep our eyes open for those opportunities.
And just a question clarifying. When you talk about public benefits, does it have to be only at the project site, or can that extend outside the project area because it's contributing to the quality of the development as a whole?
The latter. I think the idea is only that the project is through funding or otherwise facilitating bringing those benefits. So if they're off-site, like an off-site parking as we talked about earlier, that would be a project public benefit.
The shuttle.
Yeah,
the shuttle. I know that Wesley Park Association and the residents would be very concerned that it be very clearly stated here that there is a plan for parking that is done and implemented prior to any kind of development for Balboa Reservoir. I didn't see that it was as that clear that it must be done before or prior to the development. Yeah, so I would like to be that, say, a time frame added at least. So that doesn't negatively impact either side. And also, just as a you know, there's a general, everybody, there's so many people in Westwood Park and all of this whole neighborhood who have been former students of City College, who have kids who are going to City College. There's a real concern that City College survives and survives well and goes back to full enrollment.
Okay, just some general thoughts. Development is coming to the reservoir. These parking spots are going to go away, and a lot of people are nervous about it. I think we should also look at the positive things that are going to be happening as a result of this. I'll come back to the parking in a minute. The advantages City College is going to reap from our development. CCSF will gain a park, possibly some campus-related retail, laundromat, coffee shop, office supply, a bike station maybe, some bike storage, a pub, taqueria, all good things for City College. CCSF could land some student and faculty housing, as mentioned earlier, allowing students to stay in the city and not commute from far away. CCSF could, if they decide to, get a new child care center in the Balboa area, in the reservoir area. That would be excellent. And all of these have to happen with the cooperation of City College. And with the exception of Bridget Davila here, there really isn't anybody here from City College, anybody here from the in an official capacity. And I'm kind of disappointed to see that tonight. I was sort of hoping.
Sure.
Oh. Good, never mind. But I'm anxious to hear what you have to say. As far as the parking goes, heard a lot of anecdotal comments over the past year about people who need to drive to the school, and I don't deny that there are a lot of people who have to do that. There are people who have jobs, maybe one or two jobs, even three jobs, they have kids, they have to drop them off at childcare, and then they have class, and they have to get back to work, and they get their second job. But all I've ever heard is anecdotal discussion about that. What we really need, as Robert says, we need data. And the data won't happen until the TDM, is the Transportation Demand Management Study, is complete. We need to know who's coming to school, where they're coming from, how they're getting here, what their various choices are, and how to get here, and why they choose the choices that they choose. And only then, once we have all that information, will we actually be able to say, we need X number of parking spots for the PAC, for the students who come to school, for the staff. And we really can't decide that at this point without that data. And I really want to stress that this needs to be a data-driven project. And also, as was stated last week, 2 weeks ago at the meeting on TDM, we're designing for the future. So we're going to be looking at future generations, not the kids that are going to school here now, not the staff that's here now, but the people that'll be here 5, 10 years from now, and 15, 20, even 100 years from now. This is going to be here for a long time. So we have to think ahead in terms of time. I think that's what I wanted to say. There was a question about, somebody wrote in about routes to drive between City College and the reservoir. I'm not sure people, it was, I'm looking, give me a minute here. There's a portion here about maintaining routes for transportation between the reservoir and City College. And it includes bicycling, walking, and driving. And I'm not sure who's going to be driving between the reservoir and City College.
Well, 2D?
That's all I need to say.
2D.
You can give Rebecca a chance to
get ready.
Sure,
yeah, give her a minute to get ready. Is there anybody else?
Yeah, can I mention the transit?
So I know we talked about this last time, but the college is going forward with the transit demand management study. And I think that's extremely important. You pointed that out last time, Lisa, that you wanted to know what the students had for lunch on Fridays. And I think that level of granular detail is extremely important. None of us want to move forward without more data, because there are a lot of anecdotal stories about the veteran coming in from Antioch and kids. And I had a 2-year-old this week, and so I understood what they meant by having kids. But we took Muni, and it was okay. So, but
I also want to say something else that I forgot to mention earlier. And Martin, right, you had mentioned something about the role of City College in San Francisco. And I don't know if just because I'm a San Franciscan that I believe our college is so special and wonderful, but I know when I was running for office, I had the most amazing conversations with people. And it does really occupy a unique place in the hearts of people here. And when I go to meetings with other trustees across the country, you know, they're concerned about policies and issues, but they don't have that kind of love, I guess we'll call it, love of people that come to our meetings and stay till 2 a.m, you know, and everybody's like very, very concerned about City College. And I know this Balboa Reservoir issue is making people very nervous too, but we do have to keep in mind that we are planning for the future. I'm not, as I've stated before, I'm not opposed to housing. I would like to see 50 to 100% affordable housing. I'd like to see housing dedicated to faculty and staff and targeted students if we can accommodate that. I think that would be in keeping with City College's mission. But I do appreciate that we're all trying to work together here and that we're that our parameters include working with our master plan as it develops. So, thank you.
Yeah, I'll go and then Rebecca, you can, when you're ready to jump in, okay. So I think the first thing, and pardon me all for being late, from Palo Alto to San Francisco can be a really long commute. So the first thing that I'd like to say is that, and we've heard this in a bunch of different ways, and I just want to just restate for the record, that City College is the epicenter of this neighborhood, and that we are all connected to City College, whether we are a part of City College formally or not. And I think we have to have that frame as we're thinking about this, because if we don't, we're not going to make the best decisions. And I think the challenge of the last couple of years of City College and what it's been through has debilitated it in ways that has made it not be able to be a full partner here today, for example, because of the fact that it's got so many other things on its to-do list that it's got to deal with for its robust survival. And so to me, one of the things that we've got to, which is part of, I think, the last parameter 4C, which is identify opportunities for the Balboa Reservoir Project to help City College fulfill its master plan objectives while also meeting other applicable development parameters. There's something here about how do we think about this project in partnership with City College so that we can be mutually beneficial. I don't know exactly what the right wording is for it, but there's something about that we're not doing this in two parallel processes, that we've got our process for the site and City College's master plan, and those two trains maybe will, they're like two tracks, and maybe someday those two tracks will meet, when in fact we got to figure out how to get them on a parallel track sooner versus later. Bridget, I look to you a little bit, and I look to our City College representative in the audience to say, I'd like to figure out a way for us to be able to have a more proactive approach with City College, because I think if we don't, we'll be doing a disservice on all the levels, which we've heard everybody already speak to among us, as well as our community members. So that's the first thing. The second principle one, I think the notion of being able to impact City College's educational mission for current and future operational needs, I think that's important, because I think it's about today and tomorrow. And that, and then for principle number three, we talked about it a couple of times. I talked about it last time. Under the new 3B, you know, this question of, it's not explore opportunities to provide parking, the language has got to be much stronger. How much parking is needed? How much parking do we think is going to make sense for the types of units that are going to be collectively built? And what's the equation there? And I just think we need much stronger language for that. And then the last thing that I would say just about the parameters is, I would love for us to move out of the place where we've been, which, you know, maybe it's healthy to be a little bit paranoid. It's not where my head comes from. But I think, how do we create greater transparency so that this project happens and that it's not seen as, oh, this is the backdoor deal that Ed Lee did with the housing department. all these stories, and like, let's move beyond that to say, what's the right thing to happen with the 17 acres that can really serve as something which unifies and actually leverages the assets and resources of City College? So that's the last thing I would say. And then my final comment is, I would urge my colleagues from the little table that I think that if we were really to think about this strategically, we would see some movement around fixing Phelan Avenue and moving it back to two lanes in each direction as something that we would just do right away. That the idea of a bicycle lane would show really good faith effort to say, we're going to get this fixed, because I said this last time, and it's part of the City College piece, is if you get stuck here at certain times, it's 30 minutes to get to where you want to go if you get stuck in the middle of it. And we got to fix the transportation infrastructure component first before we get, like, we got to fix some stuff before we can think about doing anything new. And I think we got to figure out a way to get our colleagues in the various city departments to help make that happen, because I think that would show a good faith effort on behalf of the city toward the project if that were to happen. So that's my last comment.
I just have one question, and forgive me for being here late. So Principle 1D, working with City College to establish a process for regular communication. Just wondering, I think the intent of this paragraph is great. I'm just wondering if folks have already discussed what that process looked like. So I think that's something that I think this is probably the devil's in the detail, and making sure that how this process is productive will be very important to folks here. And the other comment is, I think probably along Sean, is that I have an interesting experience of recently thinking about taking some classes at City College, and there I thought to myself, I'm gonna have to up my pedestrian game because I might get run over more. So I was just thinking that the whole thing about access and being safe and knowing that when you cross the street that it is a safe environment, I think is very important. So and I think probably helps with getting people out of cars if the pedestrian and bicycle infrastructure was more conducive to less risk. So I think that my real question is, what would this process look like, and how would it be productive and constructive?
Okay, any last comments from anybody?
I just say ditto.
Ditto?
Yeah.
Dr. Dittos? Okay, great. Okay, so then let us now move to public comment. So if you have something that you'd like to say. Sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Hold on one second before you come out. Hold on a second. So, Jeremy.
Here we go. So, just to clarify a couple of things, Robert, a few folks mentioned the data issue. Sorry, I'm Jeremy Shaw from the Planning Department. And I've been working with our colleagues at MTA, who are often in attendance, but just not tonight. So just to clarify, we started a survey of student, an intercept survey of mostly students, but anybody who's affiliated with City College. So we had about 15 city staff on campus all week last week, and it went out, it commenced in parallel with City College's own facilities survey. The transportation parts of that survey were consistent with ours. So that was one way we were coordinating our outreach, and we hope that will bring a lot of good, valuable data. If we find that, I know it's the end of the semester, if we find that the data are insufficient, there is a way we can collect more in the fall. So looking forward to that. And one other clarification, I wanted to actually just ask, Bridget, you mentioned the parking for the PAC. Is that something we could wrap into Principle 3B, which discusses parking already? Or is there something more specific that...
I'm not opposed to it being in 3B, but I guess I put it in 4 because I wanted them to be part and parcel with each other, that there has to be parking to support the PAC. Did everybody hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Esther, thank you for that, good. Okay, so let's move to public comment. So for new people, how public comment works is you get in line over on the side, and you'll have 2 minutes, and you get a little ding when your 2 minutes are up. Okay. And please state your name and either your neighborhood or your affiliation before you speak.
Harry Bernstein, City College instructor.
Can you guys hear that?
No.
Okay. So did we change the mic? Just give us 1 second, okay? Because it was working a minute ago. There you go.
Yes. So Harry Bernstein, City College instructor. Just a couple comments on 1B and 2D. I think I'm following up on what Rebecca said about 1D in part. Work with City College to establish a communication there. Goes back to an old question that goes back 2 or 3 or 4 months. Jeremy, I think, Mike Martin, mentioned that various appearances that the staff here has been to the PGC, the Board of Trustees. So who represents City College? We have administration, we have Board of Trustees, sometimes very secretive, sometimes have their own agenda, but there are others as well. There's faculty representatives, students. Who is meant? Maybe you can't have something concrete, but we have to have an idea that if somebody is going on for planning, who is talking? I just remember that Bridget Davila, who's a CAC member and also Board of Trustees, was not informed about ongoing land use meetings between City College and the city. So that's just an example of what happened in the bad old days. 2D, I'm sure it's beyond the Balboa Reservoir proper, but also what Rebecca said about safe travel. It says safe travel between here and the college. If we're talking about access for the overall community, there has to be, I don't know if it's going to be a shuttle or a direct path or a safer crossing of Ocean Avenue, but all those things have to happen just as a starting point and hope that it takes.
At a team at Westwood Park, Plymouth Avenue. I only wanted to give you some history since you are very diligent and thoughtful about the parking. Remember that that swimming pool, which has been built on Ocean Avenue, was a parking lot. So they limit parking space right there, which then put more cars into the water reservoir. If you want to know why the parking is so needed in the water reservoir, I'm only referring to the history. And secondarily, there are some neighbors who may use the water reservoir at night. When I look out of my bedroom window at 6:45, it is like a funeral procession. Every second there's a car leaving, turning into Phelim Avenue. Thank you.
My name is Rita Evans. I've lived in the Sunnyside neighborhood for 30 years. I have several points I'd like to make. First, I'd like to strongly urge that the planning department and other city entities not proceed with the request for proposals for the Balboa Reservoir until the transportation demand management study is completed and the study results are used to modify the RFP as appropriate. Excuse me, the transportation demand management study should involve a semester-long effort, not a couple weeks here or there, to gather relevant traffic and parking data and must include transit, pedestrians, and cyclists in addition to motor vehicles. Data collection must take place at appropriate times of day, including morning and afternoon peak traffic hours, and during appropriate days of the week, Monday through Thursday. Two CAC members have asked if we have hard data on how many students are driving. We don't. And that's exactly the sort of thing that this transportation demand management study would, the sort of data that it would collect, and that's why it needs to be completed before the RFP is issued. I will continue to be suspicious of this entire process and very concerned about backdoor deals until I see clear evidence that those influences are not at work. And I really want to second what Lisa Spinali mentioned and what I have mentioned at earlier meetings. Fix Phelan Avenue. Not just the issue of the lanes, but fix the traffic signals. Thank you.
Hi, my name is David Tejeda. I'm a member of the Sunnyside Neighborhood Association. I've lived in the Sunnyside since the last century. First of all, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank everybody that I ever see at the meetings, Mike, John, Robert, Rita, Lisa, and all the rest of you who I forget to mention. The Sunnyside Neighborhood Association Balboa Reservoir Committee wants the city to delay issuing the request for proposals for the reservoir property until the transportation demand management study is completed. We feel the data and information compiled for the TDM study is essential if traffic and parking issues can be addressed effectively. Issuing the RFP before the TDM study is complete is putting the cart before the horse. Myself, I really think one of the issues still is still not being mentioned is more issue with the BART and the BART station, and its usability, accessibility to the campus and this area, specifically ADA issues, because not everybody can walk that distance, and it's also rather challenging to do it. Thank you very much.
Hi, Chris Hansen, Excelsior, and City College student. Okay, so in Principle 1 in the heading, can you rephrase that to read, ensure the development of the Balboa Reservoir, which is planned for the site of existing City College parking? On Principle 3, add to the heading at the end of that, and recognizes that an existing parking lot in use by City College students, faculty, and SAP staff is being affected. In Principle 3B, it doesn't take into account parking for evening classes. Add after not a viable solution, especially if negatively impacting students taking evening classes, explore alternative approaches. 3E, if referring to other nearby educational institutions, please name each educational institution, Reardon, for example. At the end of that, 3E, while recognizing that this development is being proposed on the site of an existing City College resource. In Principle 4, in the heading, where it says, work with City College, please omit the line about its master planning consultants and replace with its Board of Trustees, Academic Senate, and associated students. At the end of that heading, you could add, if working with CCSF master planning consultants, all meetings must be public and transparent. In 4B, omit unless informed otherwise by City College, and end that parameter with will be built, period. This proposed development has come at a time when City College is still vulnerable. Recognize that what you know about the history of the school may be more knowledge than what most of the people who are running the school today possess. Please be as explicit as you can in your language, and if it doesn't protect the school, please don't approve it. Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Jacqueline Roberts. I moved into Westwood Park, which is adjacent, 23 years ago. I came from New York City, and I came to live in a low-density city. And of course, I'm most concerned. I think that the height of parking structures is very much a possible solution. Now, Westwood Park has a very strict and low criteria of height. So they're probably going to kill me on the way out. You won't have to deal with me at the next meeting. But I do think that there should be a law, a taller parking structure. You can't get this all in. It has to be prioritized. You're talking about putting in a performance arts center. I thought I heard a childcare center. Putting parking somewhere else when there isn't anywhere else. My friend lives 8 blocks from my house, and when I try to park in the sunny, Staples Avenue, 2 blocks, it takes me 20 to 25 minutes to find a parking place. She's been towed, other people have been towed. As it is now, they're going over driveways, parking on the streets where disabled people cannot go. It is already terrible. And I think parking is an extremely high priority. Yes, housing's important, but does it have to be here? Why should we compromise City College to get this broader goal? I agree with the goal that there should be affordable housing. Now, why don't we just sell this whole parcel to City College and get some philanthropy, people to buy it, and just do what you say, make it for housing for students and parking, and forget the restaurants, and forget the off-site parking, and all these, you know, minutiae. You're not going to be able to do it all. Let's face it. Let's prioritize.
My name is Leslie Simon, and I've taught at City College for 40 years. If you'll indulge me for a minute, I'm going to give you some context. When the accreditation crisis hit City College, there were those of us who saw 3 threats. One, union busting, and teachers are a strong, visible force in the much diminished union movement in the United States. 2, education deform, which would eliminate civic engagement, lifelong learning, and cultural enrichment from the college's mission. And the 3rd threat, land grabs. We see it at Gough Street, where luxury housing will predominate. We see it at the proposed Civic Center site. We see it proposed here at the Balboa Reservoir. So I would ask you to keep the Performing Arts and Education Center with sufficient parking. I would ask you, and thank you so much for those of you spoken to, restored enrollment, parking for restored enrollment, full enrollment at City College. And if housing is built, it should be affordable, all of it. 100% of it should be people's housing, not housing for a privileged elite. Thank
you. I'm Adela Mueller, teacher at the college 50 years. Beat you, Leslie. And I just wanted some comments on the parameters and more later, but in the 1D, it seems like there's quite a bit of sort of cart before horses, and that there's emphasis on process if there are issues that happen after development. Well, I do think, I mean, it's a tone. I don't think it means to say that, but it does kind of come across that we'll go ahead and do it, and then we'll figure out if there's any problems. And you better reverse that in tone, if nothing else. Then on the next page, which is 2E, actually, I grew up at this school being told City College is a park, and a lot of our, I've seen some of the leases going way back, now maybe they've changed it, but part of being where we were was to agree to have an open campus and be a park. So seeing that one of our benefits is to get a park seems a little overkill. We are a park. What is it now, 3D, talks about the bicycle facilities. I will repeat, the basement of MUB is the pack. This is something that we all worked on, and when we had a delay of the pack, the basement here is the pack. And we put in bicycle things. We put in showers for bicyclists. We had a repair business on campus. So this is kind of getting back to where we had a lot of research. The one after that, when we talk about the other institutions, I think we'd better note that there are a lot of BART parkers, and I hope that the studies, the people who use both the lower and the upper reservoir for parking, includes a whole bunch of folks who use this for BART parking. I noticed in the survey they list a BART parking lot. Well, that's it. And there's no other, to my knowledge, a BART parking lot. Think that for all the BART people who come and park here. Oh, and I was going to talk performing arts, well, I'll do that later.
Hi, I'm Jennifer from Sunnyside. In Jeff Nygaard's presentation, we learned how complicated the transportation parking mix can be. As others have said, it's very important to ensure we have good empirical data on student transit and parking use when creating the RFP. Numbers will change, but to make a good faith effort, we need to understand the demographics of those currently using our streets and the adjacent parking lot and the reasons they drive and park. Coordinating with City College will provide a more meaningful RFP once the completed TDM study results are available on the topic that will impact City College the most. Our taxpayer dollars are being used for the TDM study. If inaccurate assumptions are incorporated into the RFP, before the TDM plan is complete, a significant amount of resources will have been wasted. We reduce the likelihood of inaccurate assumptions when we have empirical data. One assumption is that the population for new housing development will be made up of millennials who don't drive. Needs change. Millennials may find they need to drive when they have children or elderly parents move in with them. People are living ever longer, so baby boomers, Gen Xers, and Gen Yers may move into these housing units and stay a very long time. At this point, we don't know who will be housed. A second assumption is that neighborhoods want or can be pushed to adopt the residential permit program, so they won't be as impacted by this development. RPPs have been suggested in Sunnyside in the past. However, there are many multi-person households that are adamantly opposed, and there are multiple small businesses made up of people who fix automotive vehicles for a living. They will also oppose a program that requires them to buy many permits each year to park those vehicles on the street. What works in one neighborhood may not work in another. We look forward to seeing the results of the TDM and request that you hold off completing the RFP until the TDM results can be considered. Since I have time, I'm going to talk about Principle 3E as well.
Okay, Theodore from Excelsior, and I'm thinking is, if parking is so important at City College, why do we keep taking away parking to build these buildings? Should we try to build parking at City College? A bunch of the kids I know live in the Sunset, live in the Bayshore, they drive to City College, because partly the area where they live is such low density and the transit is so terrible, it's much easier to drive. It was my impression that we need, to make the transit more efficient, we really need to make higher the density of housing next to the transit much higher too. And I think safety is also very important. Like one day when I was driving on Phelan, a car crashed into me. So she was driving out of the drive, driving out of parking and like just ran into me. So safety is important.
Can we start with you? We're going to take a 10-minute break. Our teletyper needs to. You need to do a 10-minute break.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll start with you. I was going to 7:30. That's why.
Sorry.
You told me 7:30, so that's why. Yeah. So let's just remember your order and then come back up. So it's 7:27. So we'll come back. We'll probably get started when the big hand is on the 8 at 20 minutes to 8. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
20 to 8. 12-minute break. Started. The big hand is on the 8. So come on down. The price is right. Monica, we hear the first speaker, but hold on till we're all back. Hold on. There's the woman in the gray coming down. Matching outfit.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Who's that?
I think probably Robert. Robert. Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, and there's Maria. Great, okay.
Sorry.
Okay, welcome back. Yeah, okay. So I'm Monica Collins, very long-term resident of Sunnyside, about 25 years at City College as an employee. So just a few little points, some mishmash. The Rosenberg Library, next to it is the site of former parking, now being converted to child care. That parking is gone forever. Just saying, there is a child care facility coming to City College, brand new, and the parking is gone. Now, I would like to know if City Hall has done any outreach beyond certain faculty and administrative groups, for instance, staff and students. These are lots and lots of people. It's true that the traffic on Phelan should be coordinated, the lights. By the way, the parking lot that's used here is used by my friends, the part-time faculty. They're having a labor dispute right now, and that might want to be taken into consideration as well for some reason when you're making your considerations. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bob Byrne, 33-year resident of the Sunnyside. The new principal 3, parameter E, support this parameter. However, missing from the parameter is non-polluting vehicles. Encouraging shared cars that pollute will not take care of the increase in pollution we expect from a denser population. Electric vehicles are easier and less expensive to maintain than vehicles with combustion engines. Leases and second generation EV prices are very competitive. Please add clean energy, non-polluting electric vehicles while discussing encouraging non-single occupant vehicles. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Jonathan Randolph, a resident of Ingleside. I have heard a lot of the comments that came before me that my neighbors have been worried about the loss of parking primarily. And I want to remind everybody that the amount of parking demand is not constant. That's the reason that we have a parking demand management study, because we need to learn how to manage the parking resource that we have better and reduce it where it's reducible. In particular, I mentioned last time the CCSF parameters were discussed that the price of parking at CCSF is cheaper than the cost of a fast pass or the cost of catching the bus every day or biking, maintaining your bike for that matter. And so we need to know how much of the parking demand is induced by the low cost of parking at the City College Reservoir. So therefore, I want to thank John for his request that we study how much of this demand is caused by the fact that the price is so low, and how much of it is actually people who need to drive, people like single mothers and people who have second jobs and so forth, because those are two different kinds of people. There are people who are just driving just for the convenience of it, and there are people who need to drive, and we want to accommodate the latter but not subsidize the former. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Carol Ito. I'm a 37-year-old resident of Westwood Park and on the board of Westwood Park Association. I want to address Principle 3, particularly, just want to emphasize what both Kate Vivetti and Lisa Spinelli spoke to, that really we can't even imagine what kind of development can come in without some answers to the replacement of the lost parking for the students. And also what Lisa pointed out, that some fixes that are already recognized here on Phelan, whether it's the bicycle lanes or whether it's improving the lane traffic out here, those are fixes that are identified and would go a long ways in terms of good faith on the part of the city, I think, in the trust of our community and what's being done to fix the identified problems we already know that are jamming our neighborhoods already in the parking in our neighborhoods. And Principle 4, I think it's just a lot of words. I hate to say this, is that unfortunately, you know, I think the master plan of City College has integrity, but we need more detail. Like, what are their timelines? Is their master plan focusing on Balboa or 8 other campuses? Those are issues that I think you need to to find out. And perhaps if the representatives responsible for the master plan meet with the CAC or with us in public in parallel, so we know where they are with their plan. What is their first point of discussion? Is it housing on this property, transportation? We don't know. And I just think there needs to be more detail and markers in terms of where our CAC timelines are and where the CCSF master plan is. We need some markers and accountabilities to where that's going and not just words that, to me, Principal 4 needs to be more detailed. And I also just have a question, respectfully, of Bridget Davila. I know you represent the City College trustees, and my question, because I know, like, Lisa and Kate are responsible to report back from our boards because they're representing our association. I just would like clarification in terms of your representation. Are the thing, comments that you make approved by the trustees as a whole, or do you bring feedback back to the trustees? I just need clarification in terms of your specific
within
role.
Within the comments and then which would yeah. respond. Yeah, that's a good question. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay, thanks.
My name is Donna Hayes. I'm a counselor at City College of San Francisco. I was at the very first CSC meeting that was held a couple years ago, I believe that was. And there was a discussion of several different sites within San Francisco for potential housing development. And we weren't sure which one we were going to choose, how it was going to work. And then it was just Balboa Reservoir became the focus. I would like to see some, I would like to see the notes. I would like to see the process by which this was chosen over the other sites that are within San Francisco. I've never seen that. I don't know where that discussion happened, but all of a sudden this became the focus. And this happened, as it said before by previous speakers, at a time that City College is in dire peril. And I feel that this discussion, this destruction of City College, of our faculty, of facilities, is very damaging to us. And it has increased our stress, it has increased our worry, and we feel that the city has kind of conspired to help with the death knell for City College, and this is one more nail. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Corey Smith. I am a community organizer with the San Francisco Housing Action Coalition. Just to kind of piggyback off of the previous comment, I go to a lot of these meetings all over San Francisco. It's my job to do it. There is a number of different priorities by the city. This team works on this project, but it is truly all over the place. A couple other comments. First, in regards to the request continuously for data regarding the parking, you guys are so on board with that. That's the right thing to do. Thank you for emphasizing that and pushing that. That's absolutely what needs to happen. We need a data-driven approach. I also want to make sure that we understand that an RFP and an RFQ is not a finalized development plan, and would encourage you, if you're going to put anything in writing here, to make sure that we are flexible, and if that is issued before we get quality data, that it can be integrated into the plan. That's an absolute necessity with it. So thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Bob Gillette. I live on Miramar Avenue over in Westwood Park. The general tone of this seems to be doing things, not the general tone, many of these things seem to do things for City College as opposed to with City College. They're talking about one project, I'm going to be a good neighbor. So some of the changes I'd suggest is that A, do not develop on City College property, put a period there, strike the rest of the sentence. If City College wants something else, I think that would be wonderful. And the other three items are basically good neighbor items. Do the same good neighbor type thing there. Separate project. Number two, consider partnering with City College and or area schools to allocate some on-site units to house students. Just why housing? Why not units for parking? Let's consider all the possible uses for these things. Item B, as far as expansion, if we consider a type of project that is multiple use, multi-potential use, like this multi-use building, then you're building an infrastructure that can be used for multiple purposes in the future. And I would think that would be a more appropriate objective, so you don't make something which is currently fashionable, which would be out of function in a while. So I recommend changing this. If on-site commercial space is developed, explored, okay, this is the purpose of this project is to build space, not businesses. It's the object of the business person or the nonprofit, and if they're in a business too, to provide the services. It is not this project's objective to build services, it's to build space. So I'd like to change that, so it looks like I'm done here. Do the work for us, work with City College, but the project is not for City College.
Francine Lafrato, longtime resident of Westwood Park, 28 years. Also a CCSF graduate, and have taken the opportunity of doing many continuing education classes at City College. I'd like to agree with some of the previous comments. I don't think there should be any RFP requested before the TDM is completed, and I would hope that, just like the other person said, that it would be a very extensive TDM that would take quite a long time to really flesh out all the parking needs and, you know, who's coming here and what's happening and all that, not some little quickie study. The other thing is, in principle number 4, item B, this is something I've taken issue with before, I don't understand the comment, unless informed otherwise by City College, in reference to the Performing Arts Center. Again, that has been on all of us who are paying property taxes, that's been an assessment on our property tax since the bond was passed ages ago. So if it's not going to be built, what's going to happen with our money and do I get it back? Okay. So, you know, I don't think that sentence should be there. It should be a foregone conclusion that it is going to be built. So I don't like that at all there. The other thing is, if City College enrollment goes up to previous enrollment levels, which I hope it does, I'm very supportive of City College, and actually would like to see the whole property go to them, not for this housing business. But anyway, parking is going to be even more critical if the levels of enrollment go up to what they used to be. So that, in consideration with all the other comments made, how parking has been taken away for various other things that have happened here at City College, the child care and the other thing that was mentioned over there, the pool. Parking is just not something we're going to be able to get rid of, no matter how much we think we can. So that's all I have to say about this right now. Thank you.
So is that the end of comments related to City College for tonight? Okay. So what I'm going to ask is that, Bridget, let's go to you first to respond about your role.
Okay, that was an excellent question, by the way, because it kind of leads into how are we going to do this, which is in Principle 1, I believe. Principle 1B, yes. And I had mentioned early on that I volunteered for the CAC because I have a great interest in what happens at City College, and I live nearby, and I've already been going to other CAC meetings. I went to some of the Balboa Park Station. But what I found out was that, you know, first I thought, well, let me look at the master plan and see what we're going to do. And there's no master plan right now, as you probably know. And so that's been a little bit problematic too. But I've had wide-ranging discussions with individual trustees at different times, but also, no violation of the Brown Act there. But also, we've discussed this publicly at our meetings too. We've discussed this publicly. I've actually put a resolution to just ask the PUC to transfer the land back to City College. And that did not pass, 3-3. And so that generated more discussion, which is good.
it's always good to have more discussion about this and discussion with the chancellor too. So to the short answer to your question, Carolyn, was it? Yes. The short answer is yes, we have discussed it, but not as much as I would like. Because what I said, first of all, being on the CAC, I said, well, gee, is it going to be all just what I want? Cool, you know? Because there was nothing really there. But because of that, I've had to go back and revisit this and look at what's been planned before. That's how I got involved with pushing for the PAC as well. I definitely think that we should have a period after that sentence that someone mentioned, that it is going to be built. So, yes, we have had these discussions. But we do need to have much more. So.
Are you done?
Thankfully, that battery cut me off.
See how that did that for him? He doesn't want to. It's amazing how much battery juice these microphones take. Every night, Phil walks around with a Ziploc full of batteries because every time we come, we run out. So just, it's not the equipment, it's the charging of the equipment. So and you know, Bridget, to your point, I think we should be thinking about what is the right kind of, not subcommittee, but an ongoing, you know, if we really to talk about, you know, 1D in terms of the devils and the details, which I think we all agree with, like, how are we going to do this? I think if we could figure out a way to formalize the right level of representation of a City College group that, you know, it could be really helpful, you know, to have a student representative, to have a faculty representative, so somebody from the administration,
yeah,
you know, and the master plan person.
Another committee, dare I say it. But when Rebecca said that, you know, I had said so much about the other things, I left that one off.
There you are.
But I had starred that, and I said exactly the same thing. I had my notes. The devil is in the details on how we're going to do this. Because this obviously is a very vague kind of idea, and we really need to make that very coherent and clear.
And formalized. Yeah, great. Okay. So I think that we've heard a lot of feedback tonight. So on the agenda was the intention of us being able to get to consensus. I don't think we can get to consensus tonight. So my recommendation is for the staff to go back and make the edits based upon what we've heard, and then we'll put a new version out. And then at the May 23rd special meeting on to follow up on the transportation principle, because we only covered the overview of the TDM and we didn't actually get to the principle itself, we'll start the meeting with that and aspirationally hope that the good edits that will have been made will allow us to go to consensus on that agenda item first and then go in and spend the rest of our time talking about the transportation principle. Does that sound okay to everybody? Okay, great. Okay, so Rebecca, do you have something to add? Yeah.
I just wanted to there was a public comment about no matter, you know, I do see that no matter how much we try to reduce need for parking, there's going to be need for parking. So, and I think before we've talked about having some parking spots, the at least electric vehicle ready, not that they have to have necessarily charger installed, but maybe that it's at least got the tubes and like the infrastructure support. I think, I don't know if that's already, that's
in the sustainability section.
Isn't it? Yeah, so okay, so we don't have to worry about this here necessarily. I just wanted to get that clarification.
And that also raises a really good point that after we've gone through all of the principles, then we'll be looking at the collective document and see how it all hangs together as one cohesive document and ensure that it's cohesive and that things are cross-referenced well against each other. I'm trying to make eye contact with everybody, but we're all in a line and everybody's moving at the same time. So so there's two things. One is to the getting feedback from City College. Jeremy, you talked about the fact that City College and the planning department is doing a kind of a double duty one study. So we have the survey that's out there right now. So is it the tinyurl.com?
Yeah.
CCSF Travel?
Yeah.
So how many City College related folks have seen this URL? Have people seen this? This got blasted to... Go ahead, Jeremy. Okay.
So this was the link that we're handing out. I mentioned before we did intercept surveys, which where we talked to people in the street. For folks who are just too busy to stop, we also handed out this link And so to date, we have a little over 450 responses to that. But the survey at that link remains open for City College students and employees. So if you are one of those, we'd encourage you to take the survey. As well, though, everyone on a City College list received their City College formal survey, which, just I'll repeat, includes transportation questions. So if you take one of those surveys, then we'll be happy if you go to City College or work for it. So.
And Jeremy, not to unstate the obvious, this is a survey for CCSF students and employees. So if you live in Sunnyside and you just drive on Phelan and you wave at City College, you're not to complete the survey, right? Just give the results. So this is a
right. So then we will be doing more neighborhood outreach with a different
survey. Yeah.
How broad will the neighborhood outreach go?
Well, we rely on our representatives mostly. So I'd encourage you to stay in touch with your neighborhood groups. We don't really have a limit, basically. If there are people who you want us to email, we'd encourage you to just get them to sign up on the website or come to a meeting here, and we can distribute it here.
Okay, so with that, what I'd like to do now is there another question? Yeah.
Can anyone take the survey?
The neighborhood one, the forthcoming.
No, I'm saying
this one. No, CCSF employees and students.
Well, what's going to prevent somebody from going on?
What I just said, which was just to have goodwill, that we have to, well, it is what it is, you know. It's,
okay.
Yeah.
And so there's no restrictions, and I can get 1,000 of my friends and have them do this?
Well,
Barf could get
1,000. Yeah,
Barf
could get
1,000.
Well, you're the first
people
we've shared the link to that aren't City College students running the class. And that's pretty much all we have planned to share with.
Okay.
Is there an ID number that can identify themselves?
No, but, you know, all these, there's so much we can do.
So it's like the dots, in other words, right, Jeremy?
Well,
yes.
Just say yes.
It's like the dots.
What's the dots?
So here's the reality. Who stand up right now in this room if you are from BARF? Or you're from an organizing organization and you're not a resident or a CCSF. Is there anybody here? Yes. Thank you. Are you going to share this with your membership?
No. Sonya's got enough going on anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Is there anybody else? Okay. So you, Francine, you roll your eyes. Okay.
As we've been through so many of the things with
right.
the advocacy of these activists and
right.
agitators.
So the question is, you know, and we now have a CAC. And we try to create a civil, respectful process. And I'm going to trust my colleague because he stood up and he said, I will not share it. And I'm looking around at everybody else in the room to know where they live. I can see almost everybody. I can point down the two people I don't know and could call them out. But I'm going to go on a good faith basis that we're going to get good, reliable data. And if we don't, then we'll have to deal with it. Yes?
But would it not be better when people sign in for one semester, that they answer the question then, because then you can get 99% of all students.
Yes.
Okay. There's any survey has a measure of error, so I think we just have to accept that there's not going to be a perfect survey. But just a couple of things with respect to this survey: if people are concerned that opening up the link will distort the results, I'm happy to share what happens after tonight. So we know we have 455 respondents that are all City College students or employees, or say they are in the street. We can stop the survey right now and look at the data. If you're very concerned about the results, we can show you how the data after tonight changed the survey.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Good idea.
Good. Thanks, Jeremy. Great. Okay, was there another question? No. Okay, so we are having our next meeting. Before we go to general comment, I just want to state what's going to happen next. So our next meeting is May 23rd. At that meeting, we're going to be covering the transportation here. We'll be covering the transportation principle. We heard from the TDM study. So if you didn't make the last meeting where the TDM study was done, I'd encourage you to go online and look at the overall presentation of what they presented.
One thing I want to say about that, which I've had several conversations with my planning colleagues about, is that when he came and he spoke, he was giving an overall sense of ideas of things that could be done, but by no means was he saying we're doing one or the other. He was giving that to be illustrative. So some people walked away saying, oh, we're going down this route, and in fact, there isn't any route yet because they're in the process of collecting the information. And based on the information collected, the intention is that the TEM study was going to give us options and things to think about and trade-offs. So that was the gist of the presentation from our meeting earlier in April. And then we'll get a chance to give our feedback to the transportation principal, as well as kind of do a version of what we did tonight for the transportation principal. Also, at the very beginning, as I just noted, we'll hit the City College revised principal based on tonight's feedback, and hope that we can do a consensus on that one and be able to spend the majority of our time focused on the transportation principal. So for that. So now what I'd like to do is I'd just like to open it up to general comments for anybody who's got a general comment they'd like to provide that's not City College related. If there's anything anybody wants to add, please line up. And away we go.
I believe your agenda said that the first feedback was on the
Well, it works. You don't need batteries. You just need to throw it on the floor. I believe on the agenda it was to respond to what was on the previous part of the agenda. I didn't read that as saying you couldn't talk about City College in the general comments. Usually you tell us when we do general comments that we've got to stay on whatever it's called.
So Madeline, when
parameters. So
when
I talked about the parameters.
Right, so the comments that we just heard were focused on
the parameters.
On the principle.
The parameters
of City College.
So I would hope to give just a few more general things about performing arts since I'm the chair of the music department. And they're not really on the parameters, and I wondered at the time when I got to it, I thought you might cut me off. So I said, I could come back. A few little sort of just information items, and I always have something to hand out, that. And that's that my understanding of master plans is that they are in effect. It's a 10-year master plan we finished, and we have to update, but they stay in effect until the updated thing comes. So we do have a master plan, it just needs updating. And that people who work as consultants on that work with the college, the colleagues. They are consultants to what everybody gets together. And that's why it's hard, because it's a big institution. We all want to be involved. The project of performing arts, actually, the money we got from the state before they took it away from us was a completion project. City College has never been completed. It's one of the only campuses in the state, 112 colleges. We don't have an auditorium. We're the only school. When I came here 50 years ago, I went, where's the auditorium? And the state told me, you better complete your campus. So that's been my hobby horse for a long time. So we're talking about completion. So I'd say when you say build the Performing Arts Center, it's completed. We already have the basement underneath here, and we need to complete the campus. The word complete, I hope you get into your thinking. And I just want to put a cheer out for our production of Chicago not long ago, our student production. Fantastic. We were offered on the spot, if the logistics had worked out, a tour to performing arts centers in the East Bay. It's so ironic that our students are so talented that they're offered positions in other performing arts centers, and we don't have one for them because it was stellar. And then the two things I want to give to you are some old letters, deja vu all over, when this was the same issue 30, 25 years ago. One was a speech I wrote for the neighbors for Westwood Park, and the other was an op-ed that Kevin Starr did for us, and they're both quite powerful, so I hope you read them and recollect. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ken. I'm a Westwood Park resident on Plymouth Avenue, and having been to a number of these meetings 2 years ago, I'm sort of surprised that we have people from the mayor's office as well as city employees on the board who, when we see some of these guidelines being put together, there's nothing about ADA compliant. There's about pedestrian and bicycles, but what about ADA? 13.5% of San Francisco is over 65. Nearly 9% is challenged mentally or physically. What do we see? We don't see anything about that. The suggestion that parking is going to disappear is not going to disappear. We have driverless cars coming. It's going to be even twice as many cars because it's going to be driverless. Why not go out in your car? You don't have to drive anymore. Do whatever you want, especially for old people. A group of us have gotten together and have put together a plan to adjunct the neighborhood with a very, very fine quality structure and park, 17-acre park, something of the quality that the people in Sunnyside created when they created the conservatory. It was a shocking build to see that. The initial paper things I was reading was housing was being suggested for that area. They were going to tear down the old building. But the people in Sunnyside created a conservatory that I am honored to tell my friends in Chicago, New York, and Miami, and Baltimore, and Washington, when you come to my neighborhood, one of the first places I'm taking to you, you too, is the conservatory, 5 blocks from my house. It's a phenomenal place. I'm going to pass out a little thing we put together here. It's very similar to Millennium Park in Chicago. That was 17.5 acres. If you go down Plymouth here, you'll see them putting in planters. Guess what they are? They're Chicago. Mayor Newsom used Chicago as the green symbol for the city. Everything being done in the city green is almost following Chicago. This plan is a 2,200 garage with a 17-acre park. It's for handicapped people. It is for elderly. It is the largest children's park in the city. It has a 21-station exercise area, a shell band. And it serves the community as well as City College, as well as the future for driverless car, a park parking area for 400 cars, and a self-driving car, electric, all electric, to bar going each direction every 15 minutes from the time bar opens to the time bar closed. Make this a transit hub. Make it a transit hub. We got the parts for it. Don't lose the space.
Any other general comments?
I would just like to reiterate, I really would like to see through this board, through this committee, I would like to see the notes, or at least where the process happened, that Balboa Park Reservoir, the Balboa Reservoir was chosen over the other sites the city was considering when this first started 2 years ago. If somebody could please post that at the CIC meeting, the notes, that would be something that all of us would like to know. Thank you.
Any last comments? That's it? Okay, so are we going to hear anything from City College? Of course, I'm so glad we're going to make the eye contact with you. Yeah, anything you'd like to add?
Everybody.
Thanks for being here.
Sure. As you pointed out, is this on? Yes. As you pointed out, there is a lot going on.
Jeff Hamilton, I'm the Director of Government Relations and AmberCR Communications as well. We didn't come with a prepared statement. I think the only thing I would say is that there's been comments about secret meetings and those sorts of comments are not accurate. The only intention that the Chancellor has had has been to set up a process by which decisions can be made. There have been no decisions made, not even by our board. So I just wanted to clarify that. And so we don't have a comment to make because it's a process that's ongoing.
Thank you for that. And we should probably, we should figure out this ongoing working group or what the representation should be and kind of. And my sense is that if we could have better representation of City College throughout the process of these meetings at every meeting, I think it's helpful, even if it's not a City College principle that parameter that we're covering. I just think it's really good to make sure we've got everyone in the room. And I think it helps to support Bridget in her role as well as make sure that it gets out to.
Absolutely. I think part of the, as some others have pointed out, there's so many voices here. And so I think rather than trying to get everybody on campus to come to a meeting, we've really tried to take, you know, do the roadshow and take the meeting to them, because obviously we have many people who are not here at night. So I think we do have to figure out how to engage in this process in a way that allows all of our constituencies to be represented.
Thank you. Great, thank you very much.
Laura, Westwood Park, I just have a quickie. Is it okay for us to go on and just see the survey? I mean, will that, I mean, can you just go on the website and look at the survey and
sure.
see the questions?
Sure, just don't press submit.
Okay, and then I wanted just to request for this survey and any survey that'd be better than that Survey Monkey survey at the beginning of this whole project.
Yeah.
Because that survey was really, really pushing in one direction. It was not a, I don't know what word to use.
Objective.
Yeah, it was not objective. It was, so surveys really need to be, maybe multiple people ought to be given the survey to create the survey so it doesn't just come from one point of view.
Yeah, it's one of the, did you make the survey, Jeremy? Who did?
The consultants.
Who are the consultants?
The folks who were here at the last one.
Yeah.
So Nelson Nygaard, who's doing the TDM survey, they created, I mean, doing the TDM plan, they created the survey.
Thank you.
Hi, Chris Hansen. Are you guys planning to also survey the neighbors
yeah.
in a separate survey? Okay, great, thanks.
Yeah, they mentioned it before. That was the question of how are we going to know about the survey, and or how are we going to do it, and that it's our responsibility for each of the constituents that we represent that we're responsible for making sure that we have good penetration within your community to make sure people are responding to it, which was important, of course. Gets an A+ for.
Hi, Jacqueline Roberts, Woodsburg Park. One person here asked for the notes of how this particular neighborhood was chosen. I just want to say there are many of us sitting still here that agree with that. And I'd like to know whether that's appropriate and who's responsible here for following through on that request.
Is this your first, have you come to a meeting before? Is this your first?
My first.
Okay, so one of the things that we do is when questions are asked, we type the notes and we then provide online responses to things. So we'll do our best to find out. There are some reasons, I believe, why this site was selected. I'm not going to say, but we've heard it kind of backhandedly a little bit now.
I'm happy to give an answer.
Well, you can answer now. Let's just do it.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Welcome.
I guess the unfortunate part is the first person who asked the question just left, so I was able to get to her before she left. So we will do this again. So the meetings that I think were being referred to earlier were a set of meetings that had four sites that were being considered for public lands for housing program. All of them, all four, are being developed for housing because there is a housing affordability crisis in the city. This site in the Balboa Park Station Area Plan EIR was looked at as a possible place for housing and open space. So that is where we picked up with the idea that 17 acres could be used, so long as we meet all of the other things we're talking about, as a way to build housing for people to need it. So there wasn't a secret decision-making process. We've been, I think, straight throughout that this is something we want to do, and we want to have a community dialogue about how it might get done.
No one else lines up.
This is going to be it. Corey Smith, San Francisco Housing Action Coalition. One of the reasons we are big fans of this site specifically is because it's right next to Balboa BART. So anybody running BART, we are hopeful that people are going to be taking public transportation. It's good for the environment, as well as the median line right here. So you get a cross-section of two different transportation infrastructures. That's why this site is so fantastic for housing.
And I think, just to get you up to speed, you get your own personal orientation tonight. The 17-acre plot is the largest plot like it in the city, and it allows more interesting things to be done with a combination of housing types so that we can actually build middle-class housing, because middle-class housing is the type of stock that we've built the very least in the city, and we're losing a lot of middle-class folks. And so the market rate allows you to be able to provide middle-income housing, because there were subsidies for affordable housing, but it's the piece in the middle that's like a very skinny, an hourglass. And so this property creates an interesting opportunity to actually build middle class housing, which the other sites can't really do. That,
also,
that, yeah. Okay. One last thing. Okay.
Sorry. Just this is a question to tag off of what you just said. So when this process began, were you guys not a little concerned that City College had been taken over by the state and did not have a functioning seated elected board of trustees? So that's my
I'm happy to talk to you offline. Great. I think we're going to keep the general public comment open for that.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you all for being here tonight, for giving your feedback, and being great participants in the process. We'll see you Monday, May 23rd. Presentation. Thank you, thank you.
Get
a ride. Well, yeah.
Yes, Robert.
I had a comment here.